Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The Friday after Thanksgiving is NPR's StoryCorps' National Day of Listening, and the topic? Teachers, all kind of teachers. Joining us now to talk about the day and share, well, actually, we're looking for him right now to talk about the day and share some favorite stories of teachers is StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. He should be with us in just a few minutes. You can go to nationaldayoflistening.org to find out more or to link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. We'll get you to the National Day of Listening website. But in the meantime, a question for our listeners, too. Is there a teacher that made a difference in your life? Is there a story you want to tell about a teacher that you just can't forget after all these years? Give us a call and share the story at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. That's 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. In the meantime, why don't we listen to one of the StoryCorps stories about teachers that they have collected. 15 years after graduating from middle school, neurosurgeon Lee Bono got back in touch with his eighth grade science teacher, Al Siedlecki. Let's listen to this StoryCorps excerpt about what prompted Lee to call his old teacher.
I would never forget you because of that day that you stayed after school to do the dissection of the frog brain and spinal cord. And I said, you have the hands of a surgeon. You could be a brain surgeon, I told you.
I do remember that. And I remember I didn't want to be anywhere else. So that day when I called you, this patient comes in and he's got a benign tumor. It's pushing on his speech area. He can get some words out, but it's almost unintelligible. It's almost like someone's sewing your mouth closed. So I'm talking to his wife and we try to lighten up the situation. And they started asking me about myself. And they asked me who inspired me. So, of course, I mentioned you. We have the surgery. He gets a speech back, and he's just excited and happy and crying and wanted to just hug me. And he said, you make sure you call that teacher. You make sure you thank him. So I called you.
I picked the phone up, and you go, hey, it's Lee Bono. I said, Lee, what's going on, man? I haven't heard from you since you were in high school. And you said, I want to thank you. I was flabbergasted. I said, of all the people in your entire career, you want to thank me. It was the same feeling I had when my kids were born. And I started to cry. Made me feel really important that I had that influence on you. Lately, I almost am afraid to say that I'm a teacher to some people. But I'm not because you called me. I'm a teacher. I'm going to help as many people as I can to find their passion, too.
Dave Isay, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be back.
We were just listening to the StoryCorps story, conversation between Lee Bono and neurosurgeon.
I caught the end of it, yeah.
Yeah. That was very moving because it's not like the teacher stayed in touch with him all those years.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, part of the beauty of StoryCorps and what we're asking folks to do this week is to track down a teacher who meant something to you. I don't know if you played the clip from the beginning, but you probably heard that he's a neurosurgeon,
right?
And he was doing an operation and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, this, you know, I think we all have these memories of teachers that are kind of back there in our brains, these very vivid memories. And, you know, part of what we try and say with StoryCorps is to, you know, take the time, you know, now to stop for just at least a minute and reach out and thank someone for the influence they had on your life.
First off, what's the National Day of Listening and why the Friday after Thanksgiving?
Sure. So we started the National Day of Listening 4 years ago, and it's basically it's a very simple idea. We asked the country to take an hour to honor a loved one by recording a kind of do-it-yourself StoryCorps interview as the least expensive, but or one of the least expensive and most meaningful gifts we can give one another. You know, the obviously Friday is Black Friday, and folks shop, and of course, you know, people need to get their Christmas shopping done, but we like to think of it as kind of a take an hour out and focus on, you know, focus on the people around you. So we, it was a bit of a random day to kind of put a pin in the map and say, okay, this will be the StoryCorps day, but it seems to be working. And this year we're changing. I'm sorry we had some phone problems at the
That's
beginning.
Okay.
I don't know if you intro'd this, but we're doing a special focus this year on teachers. StoryCorps mm-hmm. across the board is doing a focus on teachers this year. And we're asking the country on the day after Thanksgiving either to do what Lee Buono did and track down a teacher and do an interview with them if you can. We have instructions on how to do that on our website, nationaldayoflistening.org. Or we have kind of a quick way of doing this also. If you're not able to track down your teacher, all you need to do is take a minute and go on Facebook, go on Twitter, go on YouTube, and just write a memory, write a thank you to your favorite teacher. And we hope we're kind of trying to start a modest campaign here through the Family of Public Broadcasting to hopefully on Friday kind of rain down like snowflakes thanks on teachers across the country, thanks to teachers.
We would love to hear from our listeners now. They can call us at 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your comment there about your teacher, the one that made the biggest impression on you. It isn't always actually warm and super cuddly, but sometimes teachers make an impression on you and you have to look back over the years and acknowledge the impact they had on your life. It isn't always direct, but why teachers? Why now, Dave Isay?
Well, I mean, I think that aside from politics, I think that everyone can agree it's been a rough year for teachers. We launched a teachers initiative earlier this year at StoryCorps, and I got the time to spend the time talking to teachers from across the country, and uniformly they felt just beaten up on and didn't feel good about. They don't feel respected. They don't feel like people understand the kind of depth of commitment and hard work that teachers whose calling it is to be a teacher do. So it felt like the right time, and we're pleased to be doing it.
Yeah, what drives people to teach was a very interesting element in a lot of the clips that you sent to us. Let's listen to another StoryCorps excerpt. It's Iodeji Ogunigi.
Yeah, Iodeji Ogunigi.
Okay.
Whose father was a taxi driver in Chicago. And he was murdered. I don't remember where this clip picks up, but he was murdered on the job. And Iodeji was studying to be a doctor, and the murder of his father turned that around and caused him to, as you'll hear, to change careers.
Let's listen.
At the time, I was tutoring at an after-school program for some extra money. And these kids came from the same conditions that the people that murdered my father came from. A student came to the after-school program. I was probably around 16 years old. We were doing something where everyone had to read out loud. He stormed out the classroom, and I went out to talk to him. And he just broke down. He said, "It's hard for me to read." There are many people that cry because they're hurt, they've been neglected, but to cry because you couldn't read, that spoke volumes to me. So we got him in some other programs, and he started to read, and it just was like this gift that money can't buy for him. And by me giving that to him, I totally forgot about the pain of the murder, and I wanted to continue to give more of what I had to heal. It just dawned on me, everybody at some point sits in a classroom. That could be the foundation for everything else. So that's when I said, that whatever happened to my father is not going to be in vain. I'm going to follow my heart and become a teacher.
Ugh. There are really people like that out there.
Yep. Yep. There are more than you think. And I'm happy to be on the show with you today, Ann. This is kind of I think this is the first time I've been on the air to even talk about this campaign. So we're kind of launching this in Columbus,
okay.
which is really cool. I'm thrilled about that.
Well, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Once again, everybody, my guest is Dave Isay. He's the founder of StoryCorps. If you have a story you want to share with us about a teacher that made a big impression on you, changed your life, or have a story about becoming a teacher and why you decided to become a teacher. I know a lot of them are still working today, but if you're out there, we'd love to hear your story as well. Paul in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann, an honored guest. I had a teacher, senior in high school. I was a, shall we say, a behavioral problem in school, a big, big behavioral problem. But I loved to read. And this guy was a wrestling coach and taught English, and he was equally adept at both. And I'd be, you know, we'd be assigned a book, and then there would be questions in class. And there'd be, you know, he would ask a question, there'd be just dead silence. And somebody would kick the back of my desk, I'd wake up, and he'd repeat the question, and I would answer it because I'd read the book. And this went on for the whole school year. And he and another very bright young fellow who did actually read the book and did not have behavioral problems, and I both got the Senior English Award because we we loved to read. And this man unfortunately died in his 40s, some sort of a heart condition. His name is Don Castle, and he made a huge impression on my life, and I continue to read vociferously to this day. That's all I have.
All right.
Well, thank you. Listen,
thanks, Paul.
Do us a favor. I there are a lot of folks who've been writing in and talking about teachers who've passed away. If you're on Facebook, I'm actually kind of just got on Facebook within the last week.
I noticed.
Yeah. Get on Facebook, go on Twitter, and Mr. Castle, like, thank him, because his family, his brothers or sisters or kids might come across it, and I think it would probably mean a lot to them. So put up that memory. Hashtag thank a teacher, or you can tag it at StoryCorps and let that teacher's family know what an influence he had on your life. Thanks for that memory.
Thank you, Paul from Worthington, for that. And everybody else out there, we got some calls queuing up. If you have a story to tell, we would love to hear it. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guest again, Dave Isay, founder of StoryCorps. We're talking about stories about teachers on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It is the National Day of Listening. You can go to nationaldayoflistening.org to find out more about that, or you can go to our website at wosu.org/allsides and link it up there. So we'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Got dinner table discussion, water cooler chat, even pillow talk, but how often are you part of the national conversation? I'm Neil Conan. Raise your voice on everything from the news of the day to the twists and turns of culture and history on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And Talk of the Nation is this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 44 degrees at 10:20 this morning. There is a chance of rain today, warming up to a high of about 52 degrees. Expect some rain tonight, a low of 46. A chance of rain again for Tuesday, maybe a thunderstorm and a little warmer, a high of 64 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms likely Tuesday night, a low of 46. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
The Friday after Thanksgiving is NPR StoryCorps' National Day of Listening. And the topic, teachers, all kinds of teachers, and teachers who talk about why they decided to become teachers. Joining us now to talk about the day and share some favorite stories of teachers is StoryCorps founder Dave Isay. Dave, once again, welcome back.
Hi, Ann.
You can go to nationaldayoflistening.org to find out more, or link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. Kelly and Powell, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I've got a teacher story I'd love to share.
Okay.
I had a professor at Ohio State University, Dr. Edwin Boyer, in engineering graphics. And this guy was a tough old bird. He took no excuses. Former state highway patrolman, just, you know, on the job all the time, always smiling, ready, prepared, and set the bar really high for all of us. Everybody said, oh, he's such a tough teacher, But he taught us the meaning of professionalism by always having a smile, never being unprofessional in any way. And he told us this story that I never forgot. He said, if you miss one of my exams, you flunk it. And here's how it goes. I had two students. They came to me one day. They missed an exam. They said, we had a flat tire. We were trying to get here. Oh, my God, please let us retake the exam. And Doc says, well, I'm a nice guy. I understand things happen. Your car broke down. No problem. I'll give you a makeup test. Can't give you the same test I gave everybody else, of course. You might have the answers. So there'll just be one question. It's going to be the easiest day you ever got in your life. You ready? Which tire? So I learned to never, ever pull the wool over Doc's eyes.
Yeah, nice.
So before I get off the phone, I've got to shout out Pat Logston and Mr. Roskulp from high school, too.
Okay.
Go on Facebook, go on Twitter. Please thank them there. Tell your family to do the same thing when you're sitting around the table. Kelly, it's such a great story. And, you know, as you're talking, I think most folks are familiar with StoryCorps, which is this massive oral history project where people have these conversations about their lives. And, you know, in many ways, we think of StoryCorps as a transmission of wisdom project from one generation to the next. And what I love hearing Kelly's story and all the stories we're hearing about teachers is this kind of wisdom of great teaching and what makes a great teacher, what makes someone who kind of has an impact on your life. Thanks for that fantastic story. And
thank
tough
you.
Teachers come up a lot.
All right.
A lot.
Thanks, Kelly.
Great subject. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Bye.
You. Well, let's listen to probably my favorite. Of course, all of them are great, Dave, but let's listen to a StoryCorps excerpt in which cousins James Ransom and Sherry Johnson remember their Sunday school teacher, Miss Lizzie Devine.
One of the things that you prayed for when you were in Ms. Devine's class was, Lord, please let me get old enough to get out of this class. She did the catechism. Who made you? God. Where is God? Everywhere. She went through and said, oh, Lord, have mercy, please.
She'd come in the house one morning and say, good morning, children. And everybody, my mother on down, said, good morning, Miss Devine. And she says, it's time to go to Sunday school this morning, children. I said, Miss Devine, I can't go to Sunday school today. She said, no. I said, no, ma'am. She says, why not? She said, because I said, my mother didn't bring enough clothes for me to go to Sunday school this morning. She said, oh, no. I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, what do you have? What kind of clothes do you have? I said, all I have, Ms. Devine, are my pajamas and my tennis shoes. She said, well, that's okay, honey. Put your tennis shoes on. We go to Sunday school. I looked at my mother, and she looked away, Sherry. Ms. Devine made me walk 2 blocks in my pajamas and my tennis shoes. I had to sit in church with my friends doing Sunday school with my pajamas and my tennis shoes. I'm going to tell you, Sherry, I'll never lie to get it.
Ms. Devine was always there to take care of us.
Right.
But when Ms. Devine braided your hair, your eyes went up like this. You had to sleep on soft pillows because, I mean, boy, she had it tight.
You know what? That's the kind of stuff that we got growing up, and I'll never forget that.
Oh, I love that. I just love that. Is the whole conversation like that, Dave?
It is, and actually, we animated that conversation. You know, we've been animating some StoryCorps stories for PBS, and it's on that actual conversation is on the homepage of YouTube today. So if you go to YouTube.com, you can see an animation of the two of them. And yes, it's much more of the same about Ms. Devine, who, as you said, not all teacher memories are warm and fuzzy at all. But you know, you don't forget them.
I did check out the YouTube video. It's fantastic. The animation's fantastic, especially when she says, where is God? Everywhere.
Yeah.
It's a great moment. Yeah. And so, folks, you can learn more about that once again. So go to nationaldayoflistening.org. You can get to it from there as well, Dave?
Yes, of
okay.
course.
All right. Michelle in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I really think this is a great project that you guys are doing. I love StoryCorps. The experience I had was I was a wayward teenager, went to community college, wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, was just kind of going along with life, and I took a sign language class, and my instructor told me that I was had the right attitude for becoming an interpreter. I didn't even know what an interpreter was. She really encouraged me. She said, you really got the language down. You've got the right attitude and perspective on this. I really think you should join the interpreting program. And there was a waiting list. And I went ahead and did it. I had no other sort of kind of goals in my life. And I did that. And that kind of led me on the path to, discovering the deaf community and this whole world that's such a big part of my life now. And I've never forgot it from Justine Preston, who actually led me to that. And it's something that I'm always grateful for to her.
Can you reach out to her this week? Do you know, have any idea where she is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And actually, because she is an interpreter, I worked with her. I'm from St. Louis. I worked with her professionally since then. And once I heard your show, I just texted her and was like, thanks again, Justine.
So
yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think all of us know, whatever job we're in, you as an interpreter, whatever we're doing, we go along with our jobs, and just having someone reach back and say thank you, let's face it, life is hard and we all work hard and it gets really tiring. And having someone say thank you, like, that just makes it just can make all the difference in the world. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, well, and thank you for putting this on. Again, I love StoryCorps. I've bought a book of the collection of stories before, and I think it's just so great that you guys are focusing on teachers. It's really awesome.
Well, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Michelle.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, Dave, I was talking to some folks yesterday, and we all agreed you must have, like, one of the best jobs in the whole world.
It is a great job. It's amazing. StoryCorps has kind of been – it started 8 years ago, and it's been everything about it has been just a surprise and just a delight. So it's really fun, but it's hard work, just like everything else. We didn't have a phone line at the beginning of this call because we don't have a good phone system here at StoryCorps because I'm raising money all the time and we're poor, just like everybody else in public broadcasting. So I spend a lot of time raising money. It's all hard work, but I think we all know that anything good is hard work, and that's life. And I feel very blessed to be doing something that I feel is my calling. And we spend a lot of time thinking about callings. I think this work with teachers also is about that, because there are so many folks for whom teaching is a calling, and we want to do what we can to make them feel good.
StoryCorps is asking everyone to take a few minutes to say thanks to a favorite teacher, a teacher that made a big impression on the day after Thanksgiving, the 2011 National Day of Listening. Is intended to send a powerful message to teachers across the nation that they matter and that we as a nation are grateful for the impact they have on our lives. If you want to tell us your story about a teacher that made an impact on your life, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Dave, I was thinking that Kelly from Powell, when she called up, and then also the Miss Divine story, Miss Lizzie Divine story, it talks about curing children of and maybe young adults of the habit of lying to get out of things.
Yeah. Yes.
Any other themes like that?
In the stories? Well, no. Yeah. I think that I think what you find in StoryCorps stories in general are I think we talked about this last time I was on the air. I mean, they're kind of the broad themes of the great themes of human existence. But you always have you'll have thousands of different stories on that theme of lying or whatever it is. With a lot of stories of, as Kelly was talking, I mean, I think I've heard many, many, many stories of scary and strict teachers who in the end turned people's lives around. And I actually hadn't made that connection until Kelly was speaking.
Let's listen to another. In this one, Noah Ruada is a college student who grew up poor in Chicago, and from an early age, he made it a goal to help his family financially. Let's listen to a conversation he has with his high school economics teacher, Alex Fernandez.
I always knew I was poor, but remember one time in particular, my shoes were all scraped up. So I got paint, and I painted them white. Some kid fell and tripped in front of my shoes and noticed it, and he pointed out and laughed. And that's when it hit me really hard, like, I'm actually poorer than I thought.
How's your first semester of college been?
Things are great. I just think about it, like, being the first one to go to college and my whole family of over 50 of us, that's my biggest motivation.
I'm really proud of you that you went this far. And I just want to have you come back in like 10 years dressed really sharp, you know,
and nice
like a
shoes.
Suit and nice shoes and have finally have a pair of shoes that you haven't painted, you know, and I have so many students where everything's stacked against them. What happens is they get almost there and then they just quit. You know, I really want you to be the one that finished, to be the one that actually did it. And I want you to get everything you've ever wanted.
In this one, it's a work in progress. They're still talking.
That's right.
Are there a lot of that?
We do see that. And I think what's neat about that story also is that it was a teacher who went to track down his student as opposed to what the other stories we've heard where students are tracking down their former teachers. I think as I listen to that, you know, I find, you know, I think we hear a lot from people talking about how moving StoryCorps stories are to them. And I think that, you know, what you're hearing with Alex and Noe is just, you're just hearing kind of people at their best having an authentic conversation. And, you know, there's so much, you know, screaming and shouting. And I know, you know, that in Ohio there was, you know, obviously lots of conversation about education and so mm-hmm. forth. But once in a while it's important to kind of quiet it down and just listen, which is what StoryCorps is all about. And this is a chance to just hear, you know, hear who teachers are and hear, you know, authentically the kind of, you know, impact that they have on people's lives.
Yeah. Dave, the premise of StoryCorps is so simple.
Yep.
It's just about people talking to each other. Why
That's right.
is it blowing our minds? Why has it survived 8 years? I mean, there's always going to be a million stories. I know that from being a journalist for 30 years.
Yeah.
But what is it about this that do you think, what's the alchemy there?
Well, I think, you know, it's funny because I think it's more about listening than it is about the storytelling. And I think the alchemy is that, you know, I was actually thinking about this on the train a little bit coming to work this morning. You know, this is really in the digital age, I think, a project about authentic connection between two human beings. And, you know, it's timeless. And it's an opportunity for people to, you know, turn off their television sets and their cell phones and look someone else in the eye. And, you know, and take 40 minutes in the standard StoryCorps interview to say, you know, thank you by listening to their life story. You know, I think that with this teacher piece also, I mean, I think what this taps into is the generosity of the people in this country, which is just a core value of America. You know, even this act of just thanking a teacher that, you know, this is who we are as a country. And if you watch the 24-hour, you know, news networks, you'd think that we're a very kind of different country than I think that the people who live day to day and live lives of, you know, as we all do when we come for Thanksgiving, we have those people in our family who live lives of decency and kindness. And those are the stories we should be focusing on. And I think people get energized by that. I know I do. Mm. I mean, I've been in public radio for many, many, many years. I started StoryCorps 8 years ago, but was doing public radio documentaries for 20 years before that. And it's these stories of everyday people that, you know, that touch me and move me and keep me focused and remind me how, you know, how lucky we are to be alive. And you know, they're endlessly moving and endlessly interesting to me, these stories, and different.
Dylan in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dylan.
Hi. I just want to say love your show. Love StoryCorps.
Thank you.
I have a story about my senior year. I was studying horticulture at the vocational school, not a traditional high school. And my science teacher, Mr. Robert Jenka, was my sister had him also 2 years later. He was a member of Seed Savers Exchange, and he grew different kinds of beans. You know, black beans, red beans, soup beans, green beans. And he knew I was interested in gardening, and he gave me maybe a handful of these different kinds of beans, maybe five or six different varieties. I still grow them today. I graduated high school in 2003, and, you know, just like everybody, you lose contact with your teacher, you go on, you go to college. He died right after Thanksgiving last year. And, you know, coming up soon here is the anniversary of his death. And my sister and I went to his funeral and his calling hours and got to talk to his wife. And she was amazed at how many people this man had touched, you know, kids, you know, kids with, you know, troubled homes and stuff that this man just kind of brought to light, you know, and made these kids feel important. And I still grow those bean seeds every year. I plant them and I keep, and I've given them to friends. And it's just, every time I pull the seeds out, I think of him. Every time I go through the freezer and see that little bag of beans, I see him. And it's pretty fantastic.
Thanks, Dylan. I hope, as you are talking, it makes me think, Mr. Jenko is, I hope you get, if you feel so moved that you take the chance to, put something on Facebook or send another email to his family. Last week, we spent so much time with, Ashton Kutcher, and maybe it's okay to spend a couple minutes to talk about Mr. Jenko as well. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
From Janet on Facebook, she writes, "My favorite teacher was Dorothy Armstrong, a fifth grade teacher at East Elementary in St. Mary's, Ohio, in the late 1960s. She taught us the digestive system and made us feel like we were discovering the secret of life."
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
Teachers who can keep it fresh, keep it real for you.
There,
have you been surprised at the response to this yet, or is it just getting kicked off now, as you said?
We are kicking it off right now.
Okay.
This is it. This is the world kickoff, and I hope that, again, I see this as a very much of a public broadcasting sort of family movement, mm-hmm. and I hope that folks at WSU, listeners will, this is the first, I've done some taped interviews, but none of them have aired yet. So this is the first time I'm actually on the air talking about this. So write to your friends, write to your family, let them know to do this, to, send a thank you to a teacher, to put a shout out on Twitter, and let's start this little movement here on WSU. Yeah, but even just, I'm not surprised, and I love, hearing these stories and these memories. I find it remarkable, and it makes me very, very happy. So thanks to all your listeners for sharing these stories.
My guest is Dave Isay. He's the founder of StoryCorps. The Friday after Thanksgiving is StoryCorps' National Day of Listening. The topic is teachers, all kinds of teachers, joining us now. And we're talking about it now with Dave Isay, but we want to hear from you, too. You can go to our website. You can link to our Facebook page from there. It's All Sides with Ann Fisher. You can call us, 614-292-8513. And you can email us, allsides@wosu.org, and share a story about a teacher that means a lot to you. You can go to nationaldayoflistening.org to find out more or to tell your story there. 614-292-8513 is the number to call. And we'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
David Coleman Headley was one of the leaders of the terrorist attack on Mumbai. The son of a Pakistani father and American mother, Headley became a drug smuggler, then a DEA informant, and after 9/11, an Islamic militant while working for the DEA. On the next Fresh Air, we speak with investigative reporter Sebastian Rotella about his new Frontline documentary. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Beginning with Woody Allen's childhood and his first professional gigs as a teen, American Masters Woody Allen, a documentary, chronicles the trajectory and longevity of Allen's career. From his work in the 1950s and 60s as a TV scribe for Sid Caesar, to a writer-director averaging one film per year for more than 40 years. This show covers Allen's earliest film work through this year's box office smash Midnight in Paris. Watch Woody Allen, a documentary, tonight at 9 on WOSU TV. There's a chance of rain today, a high of 52 degrees. Also a chance of rain tonight, a low of 46. Expect showers and a thunderstorm on Tuesday, a high of 64. Showers and thunderstorms Tuesday night as well, a low of 46 degrees. And a slight chance of rain for Wednesday morning, then partly sunny in the afternoon and a high of 50. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back. My guest is Dave Isay. He's the founder of StoryCorps. We're talking about the National Day of Listening. You can go to nationaldayoflistening.org to find out more about that. The topic for the National Day of Listening, teachers. Do you have a story you want to share with us now? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Jeannie in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a retired teacher of just a few years, and I wanted to share about sort of a public thank you that I experienced several years ago along with many other teachers. We were having an in-service, a day off from teaching for professional education. There were several districts involved, and we had several sessions that we could select from to go to. I selected Patricia Polanka, who is a well-known children's author, and she does her own illustrations as well. And so we were in an auditorium, and many of these writers of children's and young adult books that go to schools, they're teachers in their own way, too. They often meet with large groups of students. But anyway, this was hundreds of teachers in this auditorium. And she's telling about her books and how she came to write them and explaining them and the artwork. But she then started talking about her own school experiences, which were very negative. She was not liked. She was a loner. She had educational learning disabilities which had not been diagnosed. And so it was all through elementary, it was a very unpleasant time. When she got to middle school, she had he was a choral music teacher who was very sensitive to some of what his students were experiencing because he probably had had negative experiences himself. She mm-hmm. now reflected on that. But so after she told about, then she would go after school. He offered to help her with her reading and writing. This is in middle school. And told her that she was smart. He understood that she just had problems with the letters and putting them together. And so they worked together. He changed her life. And she's now this very well-published writer with a lot of respect. And so at the end of her talk, she proceeded to then say he was no longer living. And so she thanked everyone in the crowd for being a teacher. And she reminded us that on a daily basis, we may not know what's going to happen, or we may not feel that we particularly touched anybody's life. But over time, there's always that possibility. And I'm telling you, I think everybody was just so in need of hearing that. Mm-hmm. That people were weeping in the audience. And this is teachers K through 12 in all subject areas that don't necessarily know one another because we're from different districts. And when that was over, because it was so unexpected, and we were just going there for a kind of a routine in service, the doors of the auditorium opened up, and people started walking out, and other people were in the commons area because they were going from different sessions. And they're looking at all of these teachers coming out, and they're going, "What happened? What happened? Did something really bad happen?" And we're trying to explain, "No, nothing bad happened. She just gave us right. thank you, and it was just very emotional. I'll never forget it. It really touched us, and it renewed the importance of what we do. And I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you, Jeannie.
Well, that summarizes it. That's the National Day of Listening right there. That's exactly what we're trying to do. What a wonderful story. Thanks. I mean, you know, as you were saying that, you were asking Anne before about themes. And I do think that theme of the teacher that told whoever it was, and I have my own, who told us that, you know, that we are smart when we don't feel like we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those teachers that stands out. And, you know, I actually took the time on Thursday to write to my a teacher who told me that I was smart, you know, more than 30 years ago, I haven't talked to, and it was a really good feel. You know, I also think, as Jeannie was talking, this idea that, you know, part of the idea of StoryCorps is that we take the time to
say to listen and say thank you to the people who are important in our lives now. And we've heard a lot about teachers who have passed away. And I do think that's another reason why folks might want to think about doing that thank you, right. You know, today on or any time between now and on Friday or any time after that, because, you know, you want to say thank you, you know, when you can. And it does, as Jeannie just said so eloquently, I mean, it makes a difference. It really does.
Thank you, Jeannie, for that wonderful story. Chris, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My son died about a year after high school, and he struggled in high school, but he had a wonderful teacher that nurtured him named Mr. Merchant in the Sunbury school, Big Walnut School District. And Mr. Merchant retired probably 4 or 5 years after my son died. And one day in the mail, not too long after he retired, I received an envelope that had a report that my son had written about Abraham Lincoln, that Mr. Merchant had been cleaning out his closet when he was retiring and chose not to throw it away, but he took the time to remember Greg and put that in an envelope to me. And it was wonderful getting something from my son, essentially in his own handwriting, with his own thinking, from this wonderful teacher that helped to keep his memory alive. And I'd just like to thank him and his family and Big Walnut School.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that. So
Chris, I hope you'll come. I hope at some point when StoryCorps back in town that you'll come and record a tribute to your son.
Jody in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Jody.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
My name is Jody, and my son, Nick, had a wonderful high school teacher. Her name was Susan Hrinko. She was an intervention specialist, and she just knew my son inside out. She worked with his teachers and modified his classes so he could be mainstreamed into all the classes. She knew how to evaluate him to measure his mastery of skills. She team-taught his science class because you know how difficult high school science is and helped him succeed there. She knew how to push him to do his best, and she knew how to deal with him when he had difficult times. And all the teachers at Worthington were very helpful. My son had a lot of problems with social skills, and they all, you know, there was no doubt he was going to succeed in those classes. So I want to say shout out to them.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you.
Take care. Let's listen to George Langle. He's a retired teacher who, as a child, never imagined a life beyond working at the mill in the company town of, I guess it's Roebling, New Jersey?
Yeah, Roebling, yeah. And this is the first time I've played this clip outside of its original broadcast on NPR. But he ended up, as you'll hear in this interview, this is about finding one's calling, and he doesn't actually speak about it at the end, but what he became was a teacher. So this is a story that I actually heard recently again, and I just loved it, so I thought we would play it today.
Great. Let's listen.
Every night, even if he was mad at me, I'd be in bed. My father would walk in the room. He'd sit down on the bed next to me. He said, "Good night, son. I love you," and he kissed me on the cheek. And I remember when Dad had lung cancer. He was a smoker since he was 11 years old. I knew Dad was bad. He was on his way out, and I knew there was just a few days left. And I would go every night, and I'd sit down on the bed like he used to sit next to me. And I'd look at him. I'd say, "Dad, I love you." And I'd kiss him on the cheek and leave. He was a tough man, but he was a good father.
In that case, it was his father who said, "No way, you will."
Right. So what? In earlier in the clip, it's his father worked at the Roebling company, and he made the wire ropes that support the bridge suspensions, including the Golden Gate Bridge and the Eiffel Tower and the Empire State Building. And at one point, George came up to his father and said, "I'm going to work in the mill too." And his father threw him up against the wall, and he said, and it's just great to hear this clip. I don't remember what he said, but he used an Italian word, and he just said, "There's no chance you're going to work in this mill." And the kid ended up growing up to become a teacher.
Tara in Delaware, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I just wanted to speak about my dad, who's a high school football coach. He's been coaching for 30 years in Alabama, and he's one of those coaches that pours himself into building character in these kids, and he doesn't care so much about the winning. And I can't tell you the number of guys who've walked up to me and said, "Oh, you're Coach G's daughter," and I just, you know, how he's changed my life so much, and he made me a better man. And with all the controversy swirling around football right now, I just wanted to shout out to the great coaches out there that really care about kids.
Another kind of teacher.
That's right. Yeah. And another good point. I mean, that also speaks to this whole kind of, you know, the media, you know, frenzies where the people who are doing, who are just living lives of decency day to day, it just doesn't get talked about. And we just kind of obsess on negative stories that permeate through this.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you.
We definitely take them for granted, don't we, until we hear stories like that.
That's right.
Rosie in Blacklick, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Rosie. You're a teacher.
Good morning. Yes, I'm a retired teacher administrator after about 33 years in Ohio schools and in Missouri schools. And I wanted to speak about my third grade teacher, Marianne Klein, in Canton, Ohio, in the Canton City School. She just made me love school starting at third grade. She accepted me. She told me that I was smart and capable. And she didn't seem to be afraid of the little poor kids in the low economic school, Ira M. Allen School in Canton, Ohio. And she was such a wonderful role model that I wanted to become a teacher after third grade. And so I just wanted to say thank you to her and to the other teachers in the Canton City Schools at Ira M. Allen Elementary, Lenora Oliver, Evelyn Hunt, Alfonso Williams. Those were my elementary teachers, and starting with Marianne Klein, focused me on becoming a teacher administrator to help kids just the way they helped me.
Thanks, Rosie.
Thank you. And please do go on Facebook and put a thank you to those to Ms. Klein and other teachers. Tag it at StoryCorps. Go on Twitter, hashtag thank a teacher, and let's start this. Let's get this conversation going. Let's get these thank yous out there.
And tell your friends, Rosie, too. Go to nationaldayoflistening.org. You can learn more about what we're talking about right now. You can. We'll have a link as well at wosu.org/allsides. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had a rough time kind of growing up in my teens, and I lost my dad when I was 12, and so years later, I last summer published a novel, and that's gotten a very good response. And in my hometown of Niles, Ohio, had a book signing event, and I invited a teacher that I had in 11th grade in Niles, Ohio. And she, I hadn't seen her in 35 years, and I said, "I got to invite this lady because she would never believe I published this novel." Because I was put in a reading comprehension English mini course in 11th grade because I was having a little bit of trouble reading. And kind of a C student, but I excelled in English and art and stuff like that. And so when she came walking in the door at my book signing, it was such a thrill to me. And she was so proud of me. And I hadn't seen her in 35 years. And it was just a really great confirmation. And I've since heard things since the book signing of last year, you know, where a friend of a friend has said something that, you know, she had said something about me. So it's just been a really nice, you know, many years later, somebody confirms, you know, that I had talent in this other area. And then I was a photographer by trade, became a photographer, a professional, and always had a love of writing. But that was a real pivotal event. Where she came and wanted to be there, and while I read from my novel, so it was kind of surreal, but really wonderful.
What's the name of your book, Mark?
It's Una Storia Amore, A Love Story by Way of New York.
Okay. Mark, thanks so much.
What's your teacher's name?
Let's not forget. Mrs. Diana Maselli of Niles McKinley High School, and she's since retired, but she's out there. And if I could just throw one more name out there, it was very instrumental in helping me through those times. It was Mr. Tony Napolet.
Okay.
And he was the high school football coach and a psychology teacher. He got me through a lot, and he was a great father figure for me growing up.
Put it out, write it out on Facebook, send out a tweet as well, so to make sure that they see that. Thank you so much.
We have an email from Tim. He says what he learned from Mrs. Hartman at Columbus South High School in 1977 was to question everything that you are taught and to consider the sources and motivations of those doing the teaching. These two concepts have proved more valuable to me than any content presented by any teacher since. Thank you, Ms. Hartman. And from Susan on Facebook, oh my gosh, ask anyone who attended Mount Gilead Elementary and had Mrs. Mabel Wells Burns for 8th grade English. A noun is a name of anything, a school or garden, hoop or swing. A poem she made every student learn, still know it. Well, Dave, I say thanks so much for joining us again and kicking off the event with us, the National Day of Listening and .org with us today.
And actually, this has been so much fun. I cannot imagine a better way to kick this off. And I'm so grateful to your listeners for these great stories, which just have my brain kind of going around and around. Fabulous. Thank you.
I know.
Well, sorry I didn't get to ask you about your teacher, but we'll do that next time.
Next time we will. NationalDayOfListening.org if you want to learn more about the program, if you want to share a story about your teachers, and go to Facebook, All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, and continue to post those stories today. We appreciate it. Thanks to Dave Isay. Thanks to you for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.